now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Hey, how you doing? My name is Greg Knapp. I'm in for Michael Savage on The Savage Nation. And President Obama is speaking right now at the White House, and he's speaking about the fact that the Senate had a filibuster on raising the minimum wage. Oh, let's listen in for a second.
And so she wrote to me and said, I do not want a pot of gold. All I want is to pay for college and pay my bills in full every month. That's all she's looking for.
Yeah.
Doesn't expect to get wealthy.
No.
Just wants to be able to pay the bills at the end of every month.
Sure.
Be able to act responsibly, meet her responsibilities based on her own hard work. People like Sheila deserve a fair shot. So far, Republicans in Congress disagree.
Yeah, they don't want her to have a fair shot.
The minimum wage entirely. One House Republican said it's outlived its usefulness. I'd vote to repeal the minimum wage.
Yep, me too.
A Senate Republican said he doesn't think the minimum wage helps the middle class.
Nope, it doesn't. It doesn't.
It's a very simple issue. Either you're in favor of raising wages for hardworking Americans, or you're not. Either you want to grow the economy from the middle out and the bottom up.
Oh, yeah.
So that prosperity is broad-based, or you think that top-down economics is the way to go.
Right.
Republicans in Congress have found the time to vote more than 50 times to undermine or repeal the health care bill for millions of working families. Earlier this month, they voted for a budget that would give the wealthiest Americans a massive tax cut while forcing deep cuts to investments that help middle-class families, but they
okay,
won't raise
that's enough. I can't take it anymore. I can't take it anymore. It's the same crap over and over and over again. And if you disagree with the president, it's not because you believe that his policies are destroying America and harming our economy and are actually hurting the poor. No, the only reason you can disagree with President Obama is because you don't want to give that lady Sheila a fair shot. You don't want the poor to make money. You don't want anybody to get a raise. That's it. You only care about the wealthy. That's the only reason you can disagree with this president. Oh, wait, I forgot. There's one other reason. You're racist. Don't forget that one. I mean, this is what he does every time. He's like an adolescent in the way he argues. There's no facts. There's just a crazy argument, straw men that he puts up to knock down. It's sheer nonsense. Look, here's why I don't think there should be a minimum wage. The minimum wage, artificially set, does nothing to help you. Because what it does is it makes it harder for people to get an entry-level job. There are places all over the country where the minimum wage is higher than what is set by the federal government. And number one, either a state has tried it on their own, Hawaii's doing it, a couple of them have done it, or because the business owners understand they're not going to get workers paying just the minimum wage who are worth a damn. And so they pay more. And they get better workers. And when he says, the only way these people are going to get a raise is if we mandate it. No, the way you get a raise is you earn it. Well, they won't give you the money. If you get an entry-level job and you work hard and you show your worth, if that boss won't give you a raise, you go somewhere else and get a raise. It's supposed to be an entry-level job. You're not supposed to survive on this. This isn't something you're supposed to raise a family on. Well, if I'm working full-time, I should be able to support my family. If you're working full-time as a dishwasher in the back of a restaurant, should you be making enough to support a family on that? No, because you know what? I could teach somebody without a high school education how to do that in 2 minutes. So improve your skills, improve your value, and you will improve your wages. But you know what? That kid in high school that needs an entry-level job and gets that job as a dishwasher and shows that he can work hard, you know what the boss says? Hey, good work, kid. Hey, how'd you like to learn how to be a prep chef? And then, hey, how'd you like to be the chef? Or hey, how'd you like to learn how to be a busboy? Now, how'd you like to learn to be a waiter? Now, how'd you like to learn one day to come back and work as an assistant manager? Or, you know, do you take that and you use that on your resume to get a different job? And No, no, no. That's gone under President Obama. The only way you can ever get ahead in this country, according to President Obama, is when the government gives it to you. This is sheer class warfare. And he's running circles around the Republicans, though. I mean, look at this. Look at the speech he's giving today. He has all these people behind him that he wants to help. He's going to help them. And those evil Republicans won't even allow a vote. They won't even allow a vote. Because they don't want you to have any money. They don't want you to have a fair shake. They want you to die in the street, man. They want you living in a van down by the river eating government cheese, man. That's what they want you to do. Maybe one day you'll be sitting there eating some food next to Fluffy. Maybe you have to fight for it. You know, that's his argument. And unfortunately, there's a large portion of America that believes it and buys it. But wait a second. I'm going to get into this big time later on the show. The U.S. economy slowed to 0.1% growth in the first quarter. Not 1% growth, 0.1% growth in the first quarter. Well, you know, we did have a harsh winter. Yeah, you know what comes around every year? Winter! I think we've been through this a few times and we haven't had 0.1% growth. But it's more of the same. We've got it. We got to spend more. We got to tax more. We got to go after. And his line about they in their budget, they have all this money they're giving. They're not giving people anything. When there's a tax cut, they let you keep more of what you earn. And you know what people do with that money? There's three things. You can spend it, you can invest it, or you can save it. And all three of those help grow the economy. Much better in the private sector than they do in the government sector. But he makes that sound like that's some kind of an evil thing, like they're writing checks to people. This is our president. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable. 855-400-SAVAGE gets you on board the program. 855-400-SAVAGE. You can also go to michaelsavage.com. What I really want to start talking about today, we'll get to the economy in detail later, but you know the big story from the L.A. Clippers. You've got Donald Sterling, who was caught by his, I don't know what you call her, nice way to put it, maybe, was the other woman, the mistress, right? And so she's leading him down this path as she's recording him. She, by the way, she claims that he knows that she's recording him, that her 100 hours of tapes that she has on him, 100 hours of tapes, is because sometimes he forgets things and wants me to tape him. Oh, really? Yeah, that's what that sounded like. Did that sound like that to you? Then why at first did he deny it was even him, and then he had to admit it was him? Well, that's illegal in California. Unless both parties know they're being taped, it's illegal. And then it gets out to the press. Now, let's not misunderstand each other. What this guy said was racist, and it sounds like he's a racist. But the idea that somehow this is indicative of all of America, I mean, you've got the Jesse Jackson saying this, the NAACP was saying this, all kinds of different people on the internet on the left are saying, see, this just shows where we are in America today. That's what this shows. No, it shows an 80-year-old dude has some racist thoughts. That's what it shows. That does not mean private thoughts caught on tape by the other woman of an 80-year-old does not equal what America thinks. Yeah, this one guy writing for the ESPN, half his article's pretty good. Jason Whitlock, we'll get to it in a minute. Half it's pretty good because he's saying you better watch out if you're going to go for private thoughts because there's lots of women who are hanging out with very rich NBA players who could catch them saying something similar, anti-white or homophobic or anti-Semitic. And you better watch out because then what? Are they going to treat them the same way? That's a good point. But then he says, you know, the real problem here is the rich white supremacy culture we have. Man, how can I get to be part of that? I'd be part of the rich supremacy culture. Well, you're white. You're benefiting from it. What are you talking about? See, this is where it just gets nutty, where they try and say that this means that this is what America is really like. No, it's not. It's what this 80-year-old dude is like. My daughter's 14. And I'm telling you, in her generation, at least where we live, they don't even talk about race. I was just carpooling my daughter last 2 weeks to different things she was doing with her plays. She's big into drama. So in the car, we had her Asian friends. We've had her Indian friends. We've had her black friends. We've had her white friends. And you know what? They all get along great. Nobody mentions race. I've never heard my daughter say a thing about any kind of racial conflict in her, I mean, rainbow of color friends. I couldn't even tell you where half the people's ancestry is. That's awesome. That's, I mean, because they don't care. They just like each other because of who they are and what they do and what their personality's like, and they're all engaged in the same kind of things that they like to do, and they hang out in school together. It's awesome. That's what America really is. We have people from every country on the planet here and every shade of color you can think of here. And if you really think about it, really stop and think about it, the vast majority of us get along with no problem whatsoever. And we don't treat each other horribly because of our skin color. I mean, in Africa, you still got people killing each other because they're from a different black tribe with machetes. And yet so somehow we're this awful, evil, racist nation? I'm not buying it. Not buying it at all. And I'll tell you something else. Bill Maher, who normally just annoys the you-know-what out of me, you know, even a broken clock is right twice a day, even a blind squirrel gets a nut every once in a while, and Bill Maher is nailing it on the other part of this. Yes, this guy's a racist. Yes, this guy's had problems in the past. $2.75 million lawsuit that he settled on discrimination because he's a slumlord. And the guy sounds like a real peach, okay? But there's also this thing about privacy. Let's hear cut six from Bill Maher. Sorry. Let's start with cut seven. That's what I want first. Cut seven.
The creepy part is that, when you get taped in your own house, and then that goes out to the world. Again, no one here is defending Don Sterling, but that's what's creepy to me, is that we can't even speak in our own house anymore. I don't even know how that tape gets out there. I don't know why that's legal. Much more concerned about things like that than I am the NSA, which I'm concerned about too.
What a great point. I mean, really, isn't that a great point? How would you like every private thought you have to be broadcast to the world? Every private comment you made to somebody who you thought you could trust. Like I said, not defending Donald Sterling. Two separate things. He can be a racist, obnoxious, you know what, and he can also be a victim of his privacy being violated. Both of those things can be true at the same time. But think about private jokes you've made to friends where they understand you and you understand them, but somebody on the outside might not have known it. I mean, think about, I bet you've had a great relationship with somebody from a different race, and he kids you about your race, and you kid him about his race, and the two of you can do it because you're such good friends, and you know you're kidding. But if somebody on the outside saw that, they think you're a racist. How about saying things privately about your boss and having that go public? How about as a teenager, some of the things you said about your parents, having that go public? Does that mean you hate your parents? Right? And how about this, cut six from Bill Maher about what you have the right to be in America?
It's their league. They can do what they want. People still have the right to be an ass, and it is creepy that you get recorded in your own home.
Yeah, it is kind of. So the NBA bans him for life, $2.5 million fine. Will he lose the team? What is he going to do about it? What do you think? Is this the fair thing to have happen? We're going to get into all that in just a minute. 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-SAVAGE. My name's Greg Knapp, in for the doctor on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation.
As for Mr. Sterling's ownership interest in the Clippers, I will urge the Board of Governors to exercise its authority to force a sale of the team, and will do everything in my power to ensure that that happens.
That is NBA Commissioner Silver talking about what he wants to happen to Donald Sterling for his racist comments, even though they were recorded privately. So, is that okay? We'll get to some of the other comments from people like Mark Cuban, owner of the Dallas Mavericks, saying, watch out, that's a slippery slope, and others. But look, here's one thing. When you sign on to be an NBA owner, you agree to the NBA bylaws and the NBA constitution, and you agree that the NBA can punish you and discipline you for conduct unbecoming the league, which is what they've determined this is. And you agreed that of your own will when you joined. So that's a little different than having your First Amendments violated by the United States government. Let's be clear on that. But it is a little bit, as Bill Maher said, creepy to have your private thoughts turn into something that could take away your basketball team. Even though the dude's racist, there's no doubt about it. Let me start with Craig, line 6. Craig, you're on the Savage Nation. My name's Greg Knapp, in for the doctor. Go right ahead.
Thank you, Greg. I would like to make the comparison that this entire Sterling thing follows on the Romney remarks about the 47% that was illegally recorded, and that people are so willing to sort of take the point of view that somehow, in order to win an argument, one must sort of take a different method. I mean, take a look at, say, the method of, say, if the police don't follow the appropriate rules, like if they search your house without a warrant, that's illegal. I mean, there's more concern for the rights of perceived police injustice than it is to, say, other people's privacy violation in this instance that's happened to Sterling.
That's a great point, Craig. Thanks for the call. You're saying, look, we throw that evidence out in court if you got it through ill-gotten gains, and yet on the privacy angle, sure, no problem. I think it's slightly different with Mitt Romney. He was actually giving a speech. Yeah, it was a closed, private speech, and he didn't expect to be taped like that and didn't have the full context of what he meant with the 47% remark. But, yeah, I understand your point. And to go further, remember, I was just talking about this the other day on my show. Remember that Republican congressman caught last month making out with his congressional aide. She's married to somebody else. He's married to somebody else. Not good. Well, guess what? They were caught on surveillance footage. Surveillance footage. Aren't surveillance cameras for going after crimes? So why was that released? Now, it doesn't change that the guy shouldn't have been cheating on his wife and that she shouldn't have been cheating on her husband. But, man, is privacy gone? Is it the point that privacy is totally gone? My name's Greg Knapp, in for the doctor. This is the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call.
In terms of just saying a blanket, let's kick him out. I don't want to go that far because that it's not about Donald. It's not about his position. It's about who's next. And what is it that we're going to make a decision on? And, you know, how are we going to draw a line somewhere?
That was Dallas Mavericks owner Mark Cuban on the L.A. Clippers situation. My name is Greg Knapp, in for the doctor on the Savage Nation. You can jump in at 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-SAVAGE. And Mark Cuban went on to say this. He said, you know, what Donald said was wrong. It was abhorrent. No place for racism in the NBA. I don't want to be associated with people who have that position. But there's a very, very, very slippery slope. Oh, three varies, watch out. If it's about racism, we're ready to kick people out of the league, okay? Then what about homophobia? What about somebody who doesn't like a particular religion? What about somebody who's anti-Semitic? What about a xenophobe? If we're taking something somebody said in their home and we're trying to turn it into something that leads to you being forced to divest property in any way, shape, or form, that's not the United States of America. I don't want to be part of that. In this country, people are allowed to be morons. It's a great point. Look, you're allowed to be a racist, hate-filled bigot if you want to in this country, and it's not illegal, and you won't go to jail for thinking it and for saying it. But if you start acting on it and discriminating against people, that's another story. And this guy had a problem with that too, Donald Sterling. And that should be more of what people are really upset about. And that's what makes this such a big case of hypocrisy too, because NAACP was about to give him not his first, but his second Lifetime Achievement Award. What? Al Sharpton was going to be the headline speaker along with him at the event. And Al Sharpton said he'd known for years that this guy was a racist. He said that on his TV show. Well, then why was he about to appear at this event with the guy? Brian Gumbel said the same thing on HBO Sports. Well, then why haven't you spoken up about it before? Hypocrisy all the way around. Jesse Jackson came out before the game last night, and he said, Sterling's comment showed why we need affirmative action. People in high places have no will toward goodness unless the law is there to enforce it. So see, because there's one 80-year-old dude who still has some racist thoughts, that means that nobody in a high place has goodwill unless there's law to enforce it. Everybody's a racist. Well, if they're white. That's how this nonsense spreads. Let's get some of your thoughts on this as well. Let me start with Joe, line 9 in Brooklyn. Joe, go right ahead.
Greg, there's several things I wanted to say, but let me just focus on what you're saying here. You know, there are laws that have been in place for decades now that say that you cannot discriminate in hiring. You must hire, you know, you can't discriminate by race.
Right.
You can't discriminate in renting an apartment. That's a law.
Right.
When you hire somebody who's working for you, you can't just fire them, you know, for no reason. You have to give them a good, you know, legitimate reason why you're firing them. There are laws in place. So
exactly.
I say that if there are laws in place for that, to protect people, especially in the case of being fired from a job, you know, protecting people by race. What about these laws in the NBA that don't protect someone like Sterling from being disallowed from owning a team because of his thoughts? This is a thought police at work, and this is a violation of the principles that we're living by as far as hiring and firing.
Well, except for this, Joe. I mean, when he agreed to be an NBA owner and he signed on willingly and voluntarily, it's kind of like being involved with the homeowners association. You join in and they can tell you what kind of tree you can plant and whether you can put a basketball hoop up or not and whether you can put a trampoline up on your own property. Okay? You agree to that, and even though it seems like they don't have a right to tell you what to do, you agreed to it willingly and voluntarily to move into that neighborhood. Well, he did the same thing to move into the NBA neighborhood, and if he does something that brings ill repute to the league, then they have the right to punish him. And he was losing sponsorships, and the fans were going to boycott, and it was making all kinds of negative publicity for the league, and so they have a right to go after him in the way that the bylaws and the NBA Constitution says. However, thanks for the call, Joe. The other points that I think you made are pretty good ones. They are his thoughts there. The bigger stuff was what he did when he went to court, $2.75 million lawsuit settlement. Now, he won against Elgin Baylor. But here's the other kind of thing that's weird about Donald Sterling. He had quite a few black coaches under him, and he has a black coach right now. Right? He had quite a few black people in his front office, including Elgin Baylor for a long time. So just how racist is he, and what does it really mean? See, he doesn't think he's racist. It's so funny when you listen to him, and I hate to say the word funny, but I mean, you can't help but laugh at the guy's idiocy where he says to his half-black, half-Mexican girlfriend, which again, what? When he's Mr. Racist? Kind of weird. Is that he then says, you know, I don't care if you hang out with these people, which he means the black people. I don't care if you sleep with them. I don't care if you, quote, F them. I just don't want you to do it on Instagram. And see, he probably thinks that means he's not racist. Because, after all, I don't even care if my girlfriend has sex with these black guys. So see, I'm not a racist, but just don't do anything in public. I mean, it's crazy. It is nutty. And he's 80 freaking years old, okay? And thankfully, that type of mindset is leaving as the people die off. Compared to, as I was talking about, my daughter's generation, thank God. Hey, let me get Tom in WBAP line 6. Tom, you're on the Savage Nation. My name's Greg Knapp, filling in for the doctor.
Hi, my question was about the fact that Spike Lee was sitting front row center for this announcement when the statement was, there is no place for racism in the NBA. He didn't say no place in racism with owners. He said in the NBA, and we have an employee of the NBA whose outspoken racist comments are made publicly, not privately, and yet nobody said anything about the fact that, you know, what about him? So my question is, how big of a fish do you have to be held accountable? Are the players now at risk if they make these comments? Is it only owners? Do you have to be a billionaire? Or somebody like Spike Lee, again, who is employed by the NBA, who's made vicious comments publicly about whites, and nobody said a word about that. And
I didn't know Spike Lee was employed by the NBA. Who's got him employed?
He does the NBA radio on.
Oh, I didn't know that. Oh, that's very interesting. Yeah, and that's a good point. I mean, you look at Jason Whitlock said the same thing from ESPN, and he happens to be a black journalist, and he said, you know, if you're gonna have pillow talk, these pro athletes, if they say something homophobic, if they say something anti-white, if they say something anti-Semitic, are they gonna be treated the same way? It's a good question. See, this is the slippery slope you go down when you're using private conversations. MSNBC, Chris Matthews show, William Roden was on. New York Times columnist, happens to be a black man. He said, all right, if this racism is unacceptable, then shouldn't NBA players reject racism by not dropping the N-word so much in the locker room? He said, stop using the N-word in the locker room. You disrespect each other every day that way. If you continue to disrespect yourself and call each other the N-word, then you know you're just as bad as Donald Sterling. Stop it. To the last caller's point, Jesse Jackson out there saying this shows we need more affirmative action. Of course, 2008, as Truth Revolt points out, Jackson was caught on tape saying he'd like to, quote, cut off President Obama's you-know-whats for talking down to black people and telling ends how to behave. Remember, he's the same guy that in 1984 referred to New York City as Jaime Town, which is Jaime's derogatory word for Jew, called Ward Connerly, having to be a black conservative, a house slave, puppet of the white man, and in 2008, according to James Mfume, said that Barack Obama at the time was a half-breed N. But that's okay for Jesse Jackson to do that. See, that's where it just gets... And of course, as Dr. Savage was talking about yesterday, Jay-Z sitting courtside with his 5% Nation medallion on, and the 5% Nation says white people are the devil, they're inferior, they're the weak race. And he asked if he supported their beliefs, he shrugged and said, a little bit. And he basically has carte blanche to go into the White House. Why is nobody asking about that? He used to own a percentage of the Nets. I think he sold out now. Same thing with President Obama sitting in the seats of Reverend Wright Jr.'s church for 20 years while he's preaching his racist black liberation theology. And he makes one speech and he's off the hook. No problem. Oh, I didn't know. And I don't agree with anything that Reverend Wright said. But I had him marry me to my wife. He's the one who led me to Christ. And I had him baptize my children and I sat in his pews for 20 years. But I never heard any of this. I mean, are you kidding? But that's okay. That's okay. See, this is what starts to just drive people nuts. See, I don't want to be caught up in this nonsense of looking at everybody based on their skin color and trying to play this little gotcha game. I just want to treat everybody the same, and I just want to be treated the same. And that's what I do in my life. And I'm sure that's what you do in your life. And that's why it just drives me crazy when we have the race hustlers like Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton try and jump on something like this and claim this is what all of America's like. Because it's not. And we know it. And it's just wrong. What do you think? 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-SAVAGE gets you in. And, you know, I don't want people to miss the two things going on. Two things going on at the same time. Yeah, this guy had big-time racial problems, going back to his lawsuits and everything else. But they are his private thoughts. And at what point have we given up privacy? Between surveillance cameras. And everybody carries around now a recording device and a video recording device in their pocket. And at any moment, somebody could be recording you and videotaping you and you don't know it, take it out of context and make you look bad. Especially if you're in the middle of a heated argument or in the middle of a passionate argument with your girlfriend. AJ Delgado writing in Natural View Online. He said, why would a minority like me come to the defense of Donald Sterling? He said, not for what he said, but what happened to him. Because of the privacy issue. And he's right. And then he talks about people recording each other on their telephones. People taking private emails and using them against each other in courts. Especially for things like divorce. He said, and then you look at some of these people that have gone online publicly on Twitter and gone after Sterling, and they've shown their anti-Semitism. Donald Sterling, another old Jewish racist billionaire who hates blacks but loves to use them for profit. Okay, the Jewish racist billionaire. Mm-hmm. How about this one? No one wants to mention Jewish control of major sports. Donald Sterling is Jewish. Nothing has happened or ever will happen for all the things he's done and said, and he knows it because this is America. Once the media finds out Donald Sterling's Jewish, I'm sure they'll drop the entire thing. Also, most in the media will ignore the fact that Sterling is Jewish, which is what black folks in L.A. have to deal with all the time. All these people did it publicly on Twitter. And as A.J. Delgado points out, by looking at their avatars, many of them were African-American and all of whom were willing to make their vile comments in public and would probably explain, well, I may have tweeted some remarks I didn't mean. I was upset. Maybe like how Sterling was talking to his girlfriend. But, you know, that's different. That's different. That is absolutely different. Let me get Andrew in on line one from WABC. Andrew, you're on the Savage Nation. My name's Greg Knapp in for the doctor.
I'm glad that we as a culture condemned racism. I'm proud and very happy about that.
Yes.
But ironically, today we're celebrating racism. On the news, they're celebrating an African-American kid that got accepted into all the Ivy League schools. He's the only one. That's affirmative action, which is institutionalized racism. And the kid did it. He didn't need any help. He shouldn't have gotten help. So in America, there's not one person that's Asian who Asians get the best scores, not one white person. There's not one person with the name Amy Chin or my wife, Anantaya Suri Wong. Not one person has the same qualifications in all the United States. So right there, that's racism.
Well, I don't know. Andrew, thanks for the call. I'll tell you this. What he's referring to is this kid that was able to get into every single Ivy League school. Never been done before. But I'll tell you this. I don't know that it was affirmative action, because this kid had great scores, great grades, and what he did, he went and looked at what every single Ivy League school looked for in order to accept people into their school. And he worked hard to make sure that he hit all the boxes that they look for. He worked his butt off to achieve that goal. I am not willing to say that's affirmative action at all. But the problem with affirmative action is that you don't know. Maybe it had something to do with it. Maybe it did, because they are looking to get their numbers up for certain minorities. And so what it does is it takes away from that guy's achievements. Because it sure looks like to me that this kid is extremely smart and an extremely hard worker. He plays a couple of instruments. I don't know how many languages he speaks. He's got great grades. I mean, the kid is on top. And yet, there are people who are going to say he only got in because of affirmative action. And that's sad for him. And I don't think that's right. 855-400-SAVAGE, get you on board. 855-400-SAVAGE. My name's Greg Knapp, in for the doctor on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE.
Hey, how you doing? My name is Greg Knapp, in for the doctor on the Savage Nation. Yeah, we were talking about the Donald Sterling thing. Racist, absolutely. Maximum fine from the NBA, totally understand. Banning him, is he going to lose his team? If 75% of the owners vote for it, that's in the bylaws, but then he can fight it in court. Then there's also the privacy angle, so much about this. But you want to know how crazy things have gotten? You ready for this? Todd Starnes over at Fox News covering this along with campus reform. Dartmouth College has a big controversy. You know Cinco de Mayo is coming up. So a couple of the Greek people, the Alpha Phi sorority and the Phi Delta fraternity, were going to have a fiesta to raise money for cardiac care. See? Clever, right? Right? Pretty clever. Cinco de Mayo. But it wasn't even going to be like a drunken party. Virgin pina coladas, virgin strawberry daiquiris, chips and salsa, homemade guacamole, and burritos. Uh-oh. Culturally insensitive. What do you mean? Oh, yeah. Listen to this from Daniela Hernandez, a student at Dartmouth. As a Mexican-born, United States-raised, first-generation woman of color, wow, that's quite a lot to try. It was sadly unsurprising that a culturally themed party was seen as a casual venture for such a privileged institution as Dartmouth, which, of course, she goes to. So privileged that she got in. Okay. She says, there are various problematic structures and ideologies regarding a Cinco de Mayo-inspired event, and I'm sure that we as a Dartmouth community could learn from the extensive literature written about the Americanization of Cinco de Mayo and its construction as a drinking holiday in the United States. So do all the Mexican restaurants need to stop their Cinco de Mayo, take the sombreros off the wall and quit serving burritos, even the ones owned and run by Mexicans? Oh, and I guess St. Patrick's Day is okay. That doesn't demean the Irish Catholics. What kind of a country are we living in? These people are crazy.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Hey, how you doing? My name is Greg Knapp. I'm in for the doctor on The Savage Nation, 855-400-SAVAGE. Get you on board, 855-400-SAVAGE. And you know, we were talking about privacy moments ago. And this story goes right to the heart of it, too. This is a Supreme Court case on just how private your person and effects are. You know, this is something that we're guaranteed under the Constitution, right? Fourth Amendment rights. against unreasonable searches and seizures of our person and effects. And, of course, the reason our founding fathers set it up is because the British were just ransacking their homes whenever they wanted to, stopping them, going through their carriages, going through their bags on their horses, going through their pockets, their jackets, whatever, anytime they wanted to. And our people said enough. Well, the Supreme Court is trying to decide if your cell phone, if your smartphone is something that you have to get a warrant to search. Well, of course you should have to. Well, here's what happened. There's two cases they're looking at. In one, the guy was pulled over, California, because he had expired tags. They pull him over and they notice that he's got a suspended driver's license. So they decide to impound his car. And as they do that, they find firearms. They arrest him, and they take his smartphone. Right away, they search the smartphone. No warrant. Start searching his smartphone, and they found that he was connected to a gang. A couple hours later, they searched it again, and they find, in a more thorough search, something tying him to a drive-by murder. He was convicted, and now they're trying to see if that all should be thrown out. Now, all of us want the gangbanger to suffer the consequences of his crimes. However, did they have the right to search that smartphone without a warrant? And think about it. If he's arrested for the suspended license and they see the guns in the back and they find out that those are illegal, then they've got the smartphone in their possession when they arrested him, right? Because, you know, as they arrest him and you go in, you have to have all of your effects identified and categorized, and you can't keep it in the cell with you. Can't they go to a judge and get an order to check his cell phone if they have enough reasonable suspicion? Because, see, once you set this precedent, then where does it stop? Let's say that you're pulled over for an expired tag. Do they have the right then to search your cell phone? Or let's say you were arrested for a suspended license. And maybe they even have the wrong name. Let's really do it on an innocent thing. They thought you were somebody else, and they arrest you for driving while license suspended, even though you have your license. They got the wrong name, and now they have the right to search your cell phone. Now, here's the thing. What's on your cell phone right now? Everything. On your smartphone, Justice Elena Kagan pointed out, people carry their entire lives on their cell phone. If there are no limits, a police officer could stop a motorist for not having a seatbelt buckled and download a huge amount of information looking for some evidence of wrongdoing. Now, I don't know that anybody's tried it just for a seatbelt violation. She said such a search could include every single email, all your bank records, all your medical records, GPS data that would show everywhere where you traveled recently. You say, oh, no, come on, all that's not on your smartphone. Well, it depends on who you are. I've got both my work and my home email set up on my smartphone. So if you get into my smartphone, you could go back into every private email I've written in the last, I don't know how many years, that haven't been deleted because they're on the cloud, and if you're in, you can get them all. Same thing for all my work emails. How many of those are personal? How many of those might have information on there that I don't want other people to know? And would they have the right to see that? Yeah. Your banking, your medical stuff, your locations, your phone logs, your text logs, everybody you know, all your contacts. If you have your password saved on there, all your social media contacts, and on and on and on. Justice Scalia tried to say this is just like searching somebody's wallet when you arrest them. No, not even close. Your wallet doesn't have all that stuff. This, if you really want to make an analogy to today, this would be like you getting pulled over for driving with a license suspended, and in the back seat is a huge filing cabinet with everything about you in your life sitting there that they can now go through. That's what it's like. So, should they have the right to do this? Should they have the right to see it? And you know what? In all the cases that I've been reading about on this, I don't see anywhere where they talk about whether you have a password-protected smartphone or whether you have encryption on your smartphone. Would they have the right to try to break through that without a warrant? I don't even see them talking about that. That's scary. Because if you have a diary in the backseat of your car when you get arrested and it's locked up, do they have the right to cut the lock off and read your diary without a warrant? No. So why would they have the right to do this? Simply because it's all digital? It's computerized? That makes it okay? See, we're slowly having these rights chipped away, and quite often we do it supposedly for our security, supposedly for our safety. It's what the NSA is doing. It's what Homeland Security is doing. It's what the police are doing. And listen, all of us want to catch the bad guys, but we don't want to do it at the expense of our individual freedom and liberty, do we? Or is that okay now? Well, Greg, if you're not doing anything wrong, why would you care? All right, well then, if we're going to follow that logic, then I think we should just allow the police to randomly search our homes. You know, just go through neighborhoods and randomly search your home, and I bet you, every once in a while, they'll catch somebody with some illegal drugs. They'll catch somebody with an illegal gun. They'll catch somebody with child porn. They'll catch somebody with you name it. So is it okay? Even though you've done nothing wrong, is it okay with you they come in and ransack your house? No, it's not okay with me. Is it okay with you? The other case was a guy with just a flip phone. Now, he was arrested for distributing cocaine. And while they had him under arrest, his phone kept ringing. And they didn't answer it, but it was the same number calling. And it was labeled My Home. So they looked at the number that was calling. They put it into their database. They found out the address. They went to the home and searched the home and found drugs. Should that be allowed from that phone call? Nothing but a phone call to this guy gave them enough information to be able to search the home? The justices seem split on it. But when you talk about the Constitution guaranteeing us under the Fourth Amendment some privacy, and guaranteeing us under the Constitution the right to our person and effects without reasonable search and seizure, how can this even be a split court? I mean, I understand they want to go get the bad guys, but how could this be a split court? Now, the California Solicitor General said the justices should uphold the authority of police officers to check smartphones when they make an arrest. And he promised officers will not check phones when someone is stopped for a minor offense, like a seatbelt violation, but if they make an arrest for a serious crime, they should be allowed to check for evidence, well, including the phone. Who determines what the serious crime is then? The police, right then? Is driving with a suspended license a serious crime? Is your first offense of a DUI when you're a .09 instead of .08 a serious crime? I mean, it's wrong. It's a crime. But should you have to give up your smartphone for that? What do you think? For me, no way. 855-400-SAVAGE gets you on board. 855-400-SAVAGE. But we are seeing this. It's being chipped away at. There are police departments now across America that are using the thing called Stingray, where they set up where it's like a fake cell tower in an area. And your cell phone is tricked into thinking that that's a real cell tower. And it will send its information to that fake cell tower. And then the police can use that to track you and arrest you. Is that okay? I mean, is that okay? What is the court going to say about that? And I need to follow that story more closely. But, I mean, I just see it happening across the board. Surveillance cameras. Private conversations being recorded. Released to the public. And we sit back and say, well, we got to catch the bad guys. Well, you know. What are you going to do? Well, what you got to do is stand up and say something about it, don't you? And we've got split justices on it. Because Justice Alito was talking about, well, what happens if you pull this guy over and maybe he just texted his gang members to come ambush the police officer. And he wouldn't know that because he didn't get to check the cell phone. I guess that could happen. But is that enough reason to do this? What if you wipe your cell phone clean as you're pulling over because you don't want the police to know anything about it? Will you now be in trouble for destroying evidence? Just like if you were trying to throw some drugs out the window before they pulled you over? I think you can get into some very crazy, crazy bad situations very quickly. 855-400-SAVAGE, get you on board. 855-400-SAVAGE, take your calls on that. And I also want to get into what's going on with this economy. President Obama was speaking earlier today about raising the minimum wage and saying those Republicans, they won't even let you vote on raising the minimum wage. They don't want you to have a raise. They want to keep people like you making minimum wage down. They don't know what we have to do to increase wages in this country and really grow jobs. And as he says that, of course, this is the day that we got the first quarter economic results, and we're at a 0.1% growth rate. And this guy's going to talk about trying to build jobs. And this guy's going to put up these straw man arguments that, oh, no, no, really, the only reason that you would be against the minimum wage is if you just don't care about poor people. That you don't want people to make money. That you want people to starve to death. That's the kind of argument this guy throws up. Instead of really talking about the truth about minimum wage, that every time they raise minimum wage, you have fewer people getting these entry-level jobs. Every single time they've artificially raised the minimum wage, they have had an increase in unemployment in the people who earn minimum wage. And guess who it's hit the hardest? Minorities. President Obama, once again, making it harder for the black man to get a job. Black unemployment is skyrocketed under this president. If it was a white president right now, they'd be all over him for that. Congressman Emanuel Cleaver actually said that one time. Congressman Emanuel Cleaver, Democrat, Missouri, said, if President Obama was a white president, we'd be marching on the White House right now. That was a quote from him. But no, 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 it's those evil Republicans that are trying to keep you down. All right, I'm going to get your phone calls on the smartphones, and then we'll get more into what's going on with the economy and the minimum wage and what could really turn the economy around. All of it coming up in just a moment. 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-SAVAGE. My name is Greg Knapp, in for the doctor. This is the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation.
Hey, how you doing? My name is Greg Knapp. I'm in for the doctor on the Savage Nation, 855-400-SAVAGE. We're talking about the smartphone decision at the Supreme Court. They had the oral arguments. They're kind of split on it. Police officer stops you. Maybe he arrests you for driving with a suspended license, and then wants to search your smartphone. Should he have a warrant? And we're also talking about the economic news. Not good. 0.1% growth in the first quarter. Not 1%, 0.1%. And President Obama says, what we got to do? More government spending and more government taxing. That'll do it. Haven't we been doing that for 5 years? Yeah, but not enough. This'll do it. And raise the minimum wage. Oh, yeah. Okay. Let me see what you've got to say about it. Let's start with line 9. I believe it's Radu from WMAL.
Yes. First, I just want to start by saying that I'm a legal immigrant to this country. I came here 37 years ago from Eastern Europe. And like almost like 98% of Eastern Europeans, I'm a Republican. Having said that, I totally disagree with you on this point, because if you get pulled over and you have first an expired tag, then an expired license, then guns in the car, you know what? The cops have the right to search your phone. The same way, you know, it's common sense. If you get pulled over for a seatbelt, no, they don't have the right to do it. If you get pulled over for making an illegal U-turn, but when you have infractions such as those, when you're talking about one after the next, obviously the guy's a bad guy.
But Radu, hold on. Why not get a warrant to search the phone?
You know, because we hide behind all of these things. We keep on making excuses for people.
No. The Fourth Amendment is not something to be hidden behind. It's not hiding. You could say that about anything then, Radu. Then why don't we have the right, for pulling you over, do they have the right to go search his house?
You know what? I'm one of those people that always says, I have no problem with the cops. The cops can come to my house, come to my car. I have no problem letting them search my house.
Then you don't believe in the Fourth Amendment. Then you don't believe in the Fourth Amendment.
Well, okay. You know, I believe that we are hiding behind all, you know, we always make excuses. They even make excuses for this guy that was executed the other day. Oh, the poor guy suffered for 20 minutes. Do you think I care? I'm happy he's dead. I'm happy he suffered. I understand it's a different topic, but...
No, but I understand your point. And listen, I appreciate your point of view, and I appreciate the call. It's not hiding to make sure that our government doesn't trample on your Fourth Amendment rights. Does it mean that some guilty people might go free? Yep. And you know what? We have said, as a nation, from our founding, that it's better for 10 guilty men to go free than one innocent man to go to prison. And there is such a thing as privacy. And it's there for a reason. There is such a thing as getting a warrant. This guy was already arrested. They could spend some time going to a judge, giving reasonable suspicion, and having the judge say, yep, go ahead and search it, here's your warrant. That's all we're saying. We're not saying let these guys go free, but we're saying there is this thing called privacy in the Fourth Amendment, and it's there for a reason. Let me get Gretchen, WBAP. Gretchen, you're on the Savage Nation. My name's Greg Knappin for the doctor. Go right ahead.
We're famous. Okay. I completely disagree with the previous caller. I agree with you. NSA is already listening in on things that we're not even sure what they're listening in on. They're talking about microchipping us. They, you know, if they want to go through my smartphone and look at all my text arguments between me and my family and my boyfriend, I'm just like, that's really none of your business. There's nothing in here. And I believe that if you're committing a crime, they need to catch you doing it, not go through your phone and be like, oh, well, you texted this and you did this. Well, no, you didn't catch me doing it. And
Gretchen,
and,
one of the things you just said there I love, and I want to thank you for the call, when you said, that's none of your business. Now, that used to be a really respectable statement for Americans to say to people who are trying to snoop on them. In fact, it used to be none of your damn business. And now it's, well, if you're not doing anything wrong, why wouldn't you let me search it? None of your damn business. What happened to that? It's gone. All right, more of your phone calls on this, and we're getting into this minimum wage and economy stuff. My name's Greg Knapp, and for Dr. Savage.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400.
Hey, my name is Greg Knapp. I'm in for the doctor on the Savage Nation. 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-SAVAGE gets you in. And yes, we've been talking about the smartphone decision in the Supreme Court, but I also want to throw out what's going on with the economy. It grew up 0.1% this quarter, the first quarter of the year. 0.1%. Hey, the recovery continues. We've been in the recovery now for how long? Since 2009, 2010-ish? It takes a while. Are you kidding? This is all you can expect. I mean, it's a whole new world. It's certainly not the fault of President Obama or Congress. It's certainly not their fault. And what you got to do is we've got to do more of the same. We got to spend more. We got to tax more. We got to spend more. We got to tax more. And we got to raise the minimum wage. 0.1% between January and March. Last year's first quarter was 2.6%. And now we're at 0.1%. And 2.6% isn't so great. I mean, when you had the kind of recession we had, we should have had quarters growing at 8 and 9%. That's what we had under the Reagan recovery. This is the worst economic recovery in modern history. And yet we're being told it's just because we didn't spend enough. How many trillions do we have to spend? How many shovel-ready jobs that aren't shovel-ready do we have to spend? How many tax increases do we have before we realize it doesn't work? No. The only reason you wouldn't want to do any of those things is you don't care about people. And it was the weather. It was winter. It was a severe winter because we've never had a severe winter before. Hey, let's get this global warming going so we can really crank up the economy. Can we get Al Gore on the phone? Let's get this going. We need more global warming. Everybody go out there and start up a coal-fired power plant. We have got to get this global warming moving quicker so we don't have these horrible winter. Oh, wait, what is it? Oh, that's right. Supposedly, man-made global warming also makes winters bad. And it makes summers bad, and it makes it rain, and it makes it not rain, and it makes the hurricanes, and it doesn't make the hurricanes, and it makes the tornadoes, and it doesn't make the tornadoes. Whew, man, it does a lot of stuff. We have winter every year, okay? Every year. Now, could it hurt it temporarily a little bit? Sure, but 0.1? So now the Republicans are saying, you know what? What you guys are doing just ain't working. Weather is not the only factor. They talk about regulations. Representative Kevin Brady, Republican Texas, said the only people doing well in this recovery are those who have benefited from the Federal Reserve's continued monetary morphine that has juiced profits on Wall Street while family incomes have stagnated. And you know what? He's right. You look at what's going on in Wall Street in the stock market, it's not based on price-to-earnings ratios anymore. It's based on the fact that the Fed is pumping. It was $80 billion a month, now $65 billion a month. And where does it go? It gets funneled into the markets. And the people who are the big market makers are the ones making money off this, not you. Most people still haven't recovered what their portfolio hit was when the recession went through. But the big dogs who are doing high volume trading, they're making money on it. They talked about getting back to the Canada-Texas Keystone Pipeline. Well, the White House says, no, what we got to do is raise minimum wage. That's what we need. And, you know, sure, there'll be a little extra cost, but businesses will actually benefit from the increased worker productivity and reduced turnover. These business leaders are just too dumb to know what would be in their best interest as a business owner. We know better than they do how to run their business.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. And, of course, there won't be any businesses that have to cut hiring or cut the number of people who are currently working or cut the hours of people who currently work for them. No. That doesn't ever happen except every time they do this. You know, at some point, isn't the average American going to catch on to this? I mean, I understand President Obama is great at calling everybody else a name and saying that everybody else doesn't care about you and that's why they disagree with him or they're a racist. I mean, I get that he's good at that and he's great at doing class warfare. But after a while, doesn't it come down to who you're going to believe, him or your own eyes? You know, I mean, at some point, doesn't that happen? Great piece by John Merlene. Investor Business Daily, he says, do you realize that right now the cost of federal regulations in the United States is now bigger than the entire economies of all but 9 countries in the world? What? Yes. You look at the reports of compliance costs from various government agencies and outside sources, and they found that the regulation tax imposed on our economy is now over $1.86 trillion a year. Canada's entire economic output is $1.82 trillion a year. India's is $1.84 trillion. The cost of regulations in America is more than the entire economic output of all but 9 countries in the world. Bigger than the entire economies of all but 9 countries in the world. It ranks number 10. On a per household basis, these regulation costs are costing your home about $15,000 a year. More than you spend on just about anything else per year. Is that amazing? Last year, they issued 3,659 rules, the regulators did. That's one new rule every 2.5 hours of every day. Can't figure out why it's harder for these businesses to grow. Can't figure out why wages are stagnated. Can't figure out why. And what does he want to do now? Even more. He just put out again, more infrastructure spending and more taxing. Let me get Joseph in, line 5, WBAP in Dallas. Joseph, you're on the Savage Nation. My name's Greg Knapp, in for the doctor. Go right ahead.
I was just calling because, you know, I used to be a manager. You know, I don't make a lot of money either, you know, and, you know, with labor and everything, and I don't want to, you know, up the pay raise. I'm all for, you know, a pay raise. Everybody could use one, but it's not the right time because in order for... You know, the economy to get better, you got to get people jobs first. You can't just give them a raise and with hundreds of thousands of people still not having the jobs.
That's a good point, Joseph. Thanks for the call. You know, in former Soviet Union, everybody had a job, but their standard of living was horrific. I mean, you can mandate all kinds of things. That doesn't mean it's going to happen. Just like, you know, hey, we've got, there can't be any school shootings. We're talking about, we just had some last week. No, there's no school shootings. Because they passed a law that there's no guns allowed in schools. So obviously there was no school shooting. I don't know where you're getting this information that there have been school shootings in the last few years, but schools are no gun zones. They have passed laws on that, and so therefore anytime you hear any kind of a report like that, they're lying to you. All these reports are lies. I don't know if they set up some kind of elaborate scheme and hoax to make videos look like somebody's been shot or killed. And they made the families come out and cry in front of a camera. But there's no way that there were any school shootings because we passed a law saying that there are no guns inside schools, inside school zones. It's a gun-free zone. So, see, I mean, once you pass a law, that makes it happen. So if we pass a law that will raise people out of poverty, then we won't have any more poverty. We've done it. Next. I mean, that's what they must think. Are you kidding? Let me get Steve in, line 3, WABC. Steve, you're on the Savage Nation. My name's Greg Knapp, in for the doctor.
Hey, Greg. I'll tell you, it's comical. Did I hear the president correctly when he said he expects a woman making minimum wage to pay all her bills and put her kid through college?
Right. Well, if she's working full-time, it's not fair. It's not fair otherwise.
What is minimum wage going to be? What do they propose it to be? $10?
No, it's got to be a lot more than that if you're going to do all those things. And you raise a great point, Steve. Thanks for getting in. It's this. Minimum wage was not designed to raise a family on. Minimum wage was designed to be an entry-level job. You work your way up. You find a better job. You use it as experience. And you move on. My wife's cousin, first of his family to ever go to college. He started out minimum wage working for a bank in high school. They liked him. He worked hard. He ended up being a teller straight out of high school. Then they told him, hey, we've got this plan where we'll pay for you to go to college. So he kept working full-time at the bank and went to school part-time, got the degree, started moving up in the bank. They said, hey, we've also got this plan to let you get your MBA. So he kept working at the bank full-time, got his MBA. He is now one of the vice presidents there. He's making $400,000 or $500,000 a year. And he did it all through working his way up from the minimum wage job. And the reason he kept getting raises was he kept becoming more valuable to the company. He kept increasing his productivity. He kept finding ways to make it where they wanted to pay him more or he was going to leave and go work for another bank. That's how you do it. But no. Now it's just the only way you can get ahead. The only way is if Barack Obama and the Democrats vote for you to get a pay raise. Let me tell you something. If you're waiting for Congress to get your pay raise, then you're never going to get ahead, and you're never going to really make a success of yourself. If you really think that the only way you can ever make the kind of money you think you're worth is if the government forces somebody to pay that to you, then there is something seriously wrong with your goal system. That isn't going to do it. And listen, I'm not somebody making millions of dollars telling you this. I'm just an average dude. I'm making an average salary. But the idea that somehow some of that should be taken from me and given to others more than I'm already doing with my taxes simply because, hey, it's not fair. You know, eventually, I think Americans are going to get tired of that. And not just me. Let me get Mike, WABC, line 5 on. Mike, you're on the Savage Nation. My name's Greg Knapp. Go right ahead.
Yeah, I'd like to talk about how the regulations where we send our jobs overseas and we charge Americans billions of dollars to enforce the regulations for clean air and water and health and safety and everything else, and yet our government permits countries that don't support those ideals to take our jobs.
You know, it's a very good point. I mean, you look at it, especially these developing nations, they don't have any of the regulations we do, and it's one of the reasons that the cost for their goods is so much lower. And, hey, no problem. You know, and all the people that are against the Keystone XL pipeline, well, where do you think this oil is going to go? You know, it's going to go to China. You talk about trying to cut down on coal-fired power plants. China's building one a week. We're doing it in a responsible way environmentally, and yet we're told we can't build one. So our electricity rates are going up, too. And those are. I just read a report yesterday. It looks like those electricity rates are going to stay up because we're shutting down coal-fired power plants. We're making it harder even now to do some of these natural gas plants. We're making it harder to do the nuclear plants. And we're stressing out our electric grid. But, hey, that's what President Obama told you when he's running. Hey, you can start a new coal-fired power plant, but probably going to go bankrupt trying to do it. Oh, that's great. 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-SAVAGE, get you on board. There are still people wanting to jump in on the idea of the smartphone, on whether or not you should be able to have your smartphone searched without a warrant if you're arrested for something else. So there's still a lot of people wanting to jump in on that. We'll continue to do it. Let me get Roger in Alabama on in line 4 because he's hitting a topic we've been hitting hard all day on the show. Privacy, Greg? Surveillance. Go ahead, Roger. You're on the Savage Nation. My name's Greg in for the doctor.
Yeah, on the surveillance, people are making a big mistake when they say, I'm okay with surveillance. Nothing bad about that. I've done nothing wrong. The problem is, whether or not someone has done something wrong is entirely left for the government to decide. And when the government decides, the government is going to decide your life, then the life you had yesterday is the life that was, and today the life they decide for you is the way things are. and you don't get a vote. You don't get consulted on this. They decide this.
So you're saying basically you could do some things that they say are wrong that, you know, maybe 2 years ago they weren't wrong, and they're just kind of making it up as they go along, and now you're going to be in trouble. Thanks for the call. The whole surveillance thing, from your private cell phone conversations to surveillance cameras to people recording you without your knowledge, and the problem, I think, is people have devalued privacy to the point we have a couple generations, my daughter's generation, I don't think they know what privacy is anymore. Everything they do, they put online. Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Vine. Everything that they can do that they think is worthy of anything, they put online. Text messages, calls. So they don't see the value in saying, hey, this is just between you and me. Because if it's just between you and me, it's almost like it doesn't exist to them. To say I matter, to say I count, they put it online. So now they're getting so used to being recorded, videotaped, quoted, posted, that I don't think they even see the value in privacy anymore. That's scary. 855-400-SAVAGE gets you in. 855-400-SAVAGE. My name's Greg Knapp, in for the doctor on the Savage Nation.
Join.
Hey, my name is Greg Knapp, in for the doctor on the Savage Nation. And President Obama is saying, you know, we got to do something for the poor. You know, the war on poverty, what is it, 50, 60 years now? And you shouldn't call it the war on poverty, first of all. What we should do instead is plan for prosperity. See, when you do the negative, when you aim for something, you tend to get more of it. When you talk about the negative, and you talk about poverty like that, I'm big into psychological meanings. Stop the war on poverty. Let's plan for prosperity. But while he's talking about this, did you know that the Obama-Biden vacation tab has now reached $40 million? Two golf outings by President Obama this year, $2.9 million. This is coming out of the Washington Examiner via Judicial Watch. But hey, you know, I mean, the president's got to have some time off. I mean, come on. He's golfing. He's got to be allowed to golf. Let me get Frank on line 10 in on all this. Frank, you're on the Savage Nation. My name's Greg Knapp, in for the doctor. Go right ahead.
Hey, I'm calling. I had a comment about the minimum wage going up. Now, I make more than my share. But I have a question. What do you...
Hold on. I want to stop you right there. You don't make more than your share. You make what you earn.
Well, okay, yeah. I mean, I'm very blessed when it comes to the wages. But I do have other family members that are stuck in low-end jobs. My question is...
Wait, how are they stuck in a low-end job? See, this is words matter, Frank. You're not just blessed. You're working for it. You're earning it. And if you're stuck in a dead-end job, then you need to work your way out of it. You need to use your experience to move up and find another place to work or find another job or start your own business. Or No, you're not stuck unless you allow yourself to be stuck. My name is Greg Knapp, I'm the doctor on the Savage Nation.
Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Hey, how you doing? My name is Greg Knapp. I'm in for the doctor on The Savage Nation. 855-400-SAVAGE. Get you on board. 855-400-SAVAGE. You can go online to michaelsavage.com. You know, I don't even know why anybody's talking about Benghazi anymore. I mean, Fox News is supposedly breaking a story about Benghazi. Didn't you hear that it doesn't matter anymore? I mean, what difference does it make now? I mean, it was a long time ago. It was over a year ago. And sure, four people were murdered, but listen, that happens sometimes. I mean, hey, you're in the middle of the Middle East. Wait, is that a shot at the Middle East? I think that might be some kind of a racist thing. I don't know. Maybe a Islamophobia thing. No. What? I'm just, there's a lot of problems there. I mean, this was a place where all the other NATO countries had pulled out of their consulates, and we kept ours there because we're America. all right, sure, we didn't give them the security that they asked for. And, yeah, it looks like, you know, people are still wondering why we were there, and they've never really answered that question, and some people say it was because that we had run guns to terrorists who we thought were going to take care of Gaddafi, but it turns out that they then had those weapons for Al-Qaeda, who then took them to Syria. But, you know, there's no proof of that. And it's just these crazy conspiracy theorists, you know, these crazy people on talk radio. It's like the same kind of people that told you Obama was lying when he said that if you liked your plane, you could keep it. I mean, that... Oh, wait a second. But no, this time, really, they're telling you the truth, and there's nothing more to see here. And Fox News is just fixated on this, and some of the crazy right-wing conspiracy guys are fixated on it, and we really should be paying a lot more attention to, hey, who got kicked off Dancing with the Stars last night? Anybody know? Or The Voice, or American Idol, or Survivor? Is Survivor on? Look, there's, come on! Okay, but have you actually seen what has come out? Judicial Watch did a Freedom of Information Act request on emails on Benghazi. And they got some emails out that the Congressional Oversight Committees had not been able to get, or at least had not released in the last couple of weeks. And you want to talk about a smoking gun? You'll never find a smoking gun. Okay, well, wait a second. Listen to this. This is a email that was sent from Ben Rhodes, an assistant to the president, and deputy national security advisor for strategic communications. Okay? This is straight from the White House. He sent it out to Jay Carney and David Plouffe, and also to UN ambassador at the time, Susan Rice. This was right before she was going on the Sunday chat shows to talk about the murders in Benghazi. The subject line of the email regarding prep call with Susan Saturday at 4 p.m. Eastern time. So this was the email to set her up for the prep call, to set her up for going out in front of the nation on five different TV shows on Sunday morning to tell you what happened with four Americans being killed, and also about the protests in Egypt. Rhodes draws attention to the anti-Islam YouTube video and never distinguishes whether the Benghazi attack that resulted in four Americans being killed was any different than any of the other protests that were going on. And he said there are some goals here to underscore that these protests are rooted in an internet video and not a broader failure of policy. See, this is all about a YouTube video. This is what all this is. It has nothing to do with what the Obama administration is doing worldwide. No!
What difference at this point does it make?
You know, it's time for us to move on. Thank you, Hillary. Man, could there be a better president, by the way, coming up than if we elect Hillary? I mean, what we need is more dynasties in America. What we need to do is just keep going Clinton, Bush, Clinton, Bush, Clinton, Bush. I mean, that's the way America was built, to have royalty, right? So, excuse me, that was one goal. The other one, to reinforce the president and administration's strength and steadiness in dealing with difficult challenges. See, now this is what you need a UN ambassador to do on the Sunday chat shows when four Americans have been killed. We've got to make sure we show the president's strength and steadiness in dealing with difficult challenges, because if there's one thing that Benghazi showed, it's how President Obama can handle that 3 a.m. phone call. Or actually, it was 5 p.m., and he was already meeting with Leon Panetta and his chief of military, and Secretary of Defense, and his general. And I'm sorry, the name escapes me now, which general it was. Was it? Can't remember off the top of my head. And remember, he met with them while this was happening, while the attacks were going on in Benghazi, and he told them, supposedly, you guys handle it. You guys handle it. And then he left the room. And we don't know what happened after that. And that shows you his strength and steadiness in dealing with difficult challenges. Of course, we didn't send anybody to rescue our guys. We didn't do anything. We still haven't arrested a single person in relation to Benghazi. Yes, we did! We arrested the guy with the YouTube video. You're right. I'm sorry. I forgot. But the YouTube video had nothing to do with Benghazi. Yes, it did! You Republicans, conservatives, talk show hosts always trying to tell us it didn't. Well, the problem is it didn't. Because you go to, well, you go to CIA former deputy director Michael Morrell, who testified in front of Congress earlier this month, and he said it was Rice who linked the video to the Benghazi attack on the Sunday shows, and that the video was not part of any CIA analysis. Quote, my reaction was twofold. One was that what she said about the attacks evolving spontaneously from a protest was exactly what the talking point said, and it was exactly what the intelligence community analyst believed. When she talked about the video, my reaction was, that's not something that the analysts have attributed this attack to. And in fact, we also found out later that it wasn't a spontaneous protest. And in fact, we knew that from day one. And CIA Director Michael Morell chose to ignore the people on the ground in Libya telling him that this was not a spontaneous protest. So, I mean, look at what's going on. This is amazing. I know it's all about the movie. Remember, Hillary Clinton goes in front of one of the victims' mothers and says, we're going to get that guy who made the YouTube video. Now we're going to get the guy who killed your son. We're going to get the guy who made the YouTube video that had nothing to do with the attack in Benghazi. Did Hillary understand that this was all made up? No, I'm sure she didn't. She probably had nothing to do with this. And you know what they're saying now? Jay Carney and National Security Council spokesperson Bernadette Meehan, they're both saying the same things. Here's what they're saying. Jay Carney in a big press conference today, where finally somebody besides Fox News is asking about this. Last night, when this was all out, Fox News opened their Brett Baer report, 6 p.m. Eastern, with this story. ABC News, did they cover it? No. CBS? No. NBC? No. Not one second of airtime for that. But all three of them told you who the new stars of the new Star Wars movie are going to be. I mean, come on. We got it. That's, hey, I want to know that. Who's going to be the new people you haven't heard of, except for the old people are still there. Harrison Ford and Carrie Fisher and Scott Hamill. Isn't that his name? Is that right? Mark Hamill. Yeah, thank you. From those guys are going to be in there. It's going to be awesome. I can't wait to see this movie. I mean, it's good. Don't get him sidetracked. So that was important, but we didn't have a second for this. So now, finally, the press is starting to ask some questions about this. You ready for Jay Carney's answer? Well, that prep call email was about the protests that were going on throughout the entire Middle East. It wasn't about Benghazi. The next day, she said Benghazi was from the video. Hillary Clinton said Benghazi was from the video. President Obama continued to imply this was about the video. Why do you think they went after the guy who made the video? Benghazi! I mean, they really think you're stupid. They really think this is going to take care of it. Jay Carney. The prep session was about the demonstrations elsewhere in the Muslim world that week. It's not about Benghazi. It's about the protests around the Muslim world. He wouldn't answer directly when asked if the White House would correct the record regarding statements downplaying its role in changing these talking points. The ones that got rid of the words Al-Qaeda, jihad, terrorist. He did acknowledge what was evident from the Rhodes email that the White House had a role in that document, obviously. Yeah. Lindsey Graham finally said something I agree with. If this is not a smoking gun, proving beyond any doubt the story told by the administration about Benghazi was politically motivated and fabricated, nothing will ever prove that. Well, some people are never going to believe it. This happened in September. The election was 2 months away. Obama and Biden were running around going, GM is alive and Osama bin Laden is dead. Okay, Al-Qaeda's on the run. They couldn't have this come out, that Al-Qaeda was involved in killing four Americans at our consulate in Benghazi. Don't call it a consulate. It was just a building with an American flag in front of it. I mean, it wasn't an embassy. It wasn't even a consulate. It was just kind of a building, man, because when you say consulate or embassy, then it makes it sound like, you know, the terrorists attacked America because, you know, a consulate or embassy is actually American soil and it would be an act of war. We don't want to say that. It's just a building. Happened to be an American flag. And, you know, hey, these things happen in the Middle East. The email also said, I think that people have come to trust that President Obama provides leadership that is steady and statesmanlike. There are always going to be challenges that emerge around the world, and time and again, he has shown that we can meet them. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. That 3 a.m. phone call that came at 5 p.m. answered. Wow. The terms Al-Qaeda and attacks stripped out of the talking points before the big Sunday sessions and told that it was all about the YouTube video. What do you think? Does that make sense to you? 855-400-SAVAGE gets you on board. 855-400-SAVAGE. Going to take your phone calls on that in just a second. My name is Greg Knapp. I'm in for the doctor on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
My name is Greg Knapp. I'm in for the doctor on the Savage Nation. You can join in at 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-SAVAGE. We're going over with these new emails that we had to get through Judicial Watch with a Freedom of Information Act request. Finally show that, yes, the White House did a prep email with Susan Rice, former U.N. ambassador, before she went on TV to those five Sunday chat shows, and they told her to say it was about a YouTube video. Well, we weren't talking about Benghazi. No. We were just talking about all the protests. Yeah, that's it. Oh, really? I mean, they really think you're stupid. Let me get Patty, line two in Oregon, on. Patty, you're on the Savage Nation. My name's Greg Knapp, for the doctor. Go right ahead.
Hi. You know, I was listening to your show, and, you know, Hillary Clinton ran against Barack Obama in the primary originally, and she had an advertisement on TV, and it said, what are you going to do? Who do you want to answer the red phone when it rings at 3 o'clock in the morning?
Right.
And we know now what she's going to do when the red phone rings at 3 o'clock in the morning. She's going to hang up on them. And I think because of what she did and didn't do in Benghazi, she shouldn't even be allowed to run for president.
Well, in all fairness, Patty, usually when the phone rang at 3 a.m., it was because Bill was out with a bimbo. And so that's not the great kind of training you need to figure out what happens when it's foreign policy. All right? Come on, cut her a little slack. The woman's had to deal with a lot. No, you're right. What did she do? Her department was asked by our U.S. ambassador over there, Christopher Stevens, for more security. He was told no. Well, that's because we didn't have enough money. We cut... No. Even Hillary Clinton's right-hand woman at Secretary of State was asked, was this because we didn't have enough money? Her answer, no. Hey, you know what? Every once in a while, I start to feel a little bit of hope. USA Today has this out today. 69% agree with Barbara Bush. No more political dynasty. 69% say enough. There's got to be more than just two families who can be president. Amen, brother. We don't have to go Clinton Bush. You know, there's other stuff. Let me get Donna, WMAL, line four, in on this. Donna, you're on the Savage Nation. My name's Greg Knapp, for the doctor. Go right ahead.
Yes, Greg, I appreciate you taking my call. I'm so tired of the youthful idiot brigade out there. Sorry, but it's their words, not mine. And I'm referencing Jay Carney. He used the word statesmanlike when referring to Obama. I think it's more like statist-like. And I am so tired of them destroying everything in this country from, I mean, they start with stupid smartphones to stupid, you know, smart cars. You know, one dump truck hit and you're a pancake in the middle of the highway. And it's all in the way of saving the American public. What would we do without their ginormous government? I'm so sick of regressivism.
No, regressivism, I like that, because that's really what it is. They call it progressivism. You follow it through, it's going to be regressive. There's no doubt about it. And this, you know, for people who tried to say there was nothing wrong in Benghazi, that the Obama administration did nothing wrong in it, are they ever going to admit they're wrong? Are they ever going to look at this stuff and admit it? Don't hold your breath. They're not going to. This is what they have invested their belief system in. And they just think you're going to forget about it. Their belief system is that we're a microwave society to the point that we can't remember anything. It all just goes right down the memory hole. Is it going down the memory hole with you? My name's Greg Knapp, and for Dr. Savage on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-
My name is Greg Knapp, in for Dr. Savage on the Savage Nation. 855-400-SAVAGE gets you on board the program. 855-400-SAVAGE And we were talking about the whole Benghazi thing. We've been talking about privacy when it comes to private phone calls being recorded, to surveillance cameras, to searching your smartphone when you're arrested for driving with your license suspended. All these things that have been going on in the news over the last few days. And we're talking about Benghazi. And I want to throw out one more to you. How about this? Remember back to the NFC Championship game. It was the Seattle Seahawks versus the San Francisco 49ers. And the Seahawks wanted to maintain their home advantage, and they didn't want a whole lot of San Francisco fans to attend the game. So they limited ticket sales. You could not buy a ticket with your credit card if you did not live in either Washington, Oregon, Montana, Idaho, Alaska, Hawaii, and some parts of Canada. Otherwise, no. In other words, nobody who lived in California was allowed to buy a ticket. They didn't want San Francisco fans coming. Well, John E. Williams III is suing over that. See, he's a big 49ers fan. He wanted to see their dreams get crushed in Seattle. They didn't go to the Super Bowl. But he wanted to be at that game anyway. So he is suing the Seattle Seahawks, the NFL, and Ticketmaster. Now, before you say this is totally crazy, because it sounds like it's totally crazy, you do have to take a look at his logic. He's saying, you know, this is a form of economic discrimination because the NFL has tax-exempt status. Now, why does the NFL have tax-exempt status, by the way? It's a multi-billion dollar corporation. Why should it not pay taxes and the rest of us pay taxes? Does that make any sense? And the use of public funding to build most of its stadiums. And once again, why are we so stupid to always vote for these football stadiums? Well, we want a football team. It's the only way we'll get them. And it's going to bring in all this money. No, it doesn't. Study after study after study shows it doesn't. All it does is shift where the money is spent in your community. That's all it does. But, and listen, I love football. I love watching football. But I'm not willing to pay one penny for a public stadium so that billionaires and millionaires can have you pay more money to go watch them to play. I don't get it. Doesn't make any sense to me. But you think about it. He's saying, look, tax-exempt status for the NFL, public funding for most of the stadiums, then why shouldn't the NFL have to give all citizens a fair chance to purchase the products? He might actually have something there. Of course, he wants millions for it. Man, why didn't I think of this? Well, you didn't even try and buy a ticket. Well, but I could have said I tried to or I wanted to. I got to get into some of these class action lawsuits. It's time for me to hit the lottery. How about you? I mean, you could, you know, study hard, work hard, succeed eventually over time, or you could just sue somebody. I want the suing somebody. Find me something to sue about. All right, let's talk about freedom of speech and privacy, too. Let me get Ken in, line one, WJR in Detroit. Ken, you're on the Savage Nation. My name's Greg Knapp, for the doctor. Go right ahead.
Hi, Greg. Yes, about the privacy. Well, I think that maybe that the government should put some kind of sticker on our driver's license or license plates to show that we're a Christian or a Muslim or a Buddhist or whatever. You know, I'm 70 years old, and I can never remember a time when this government, a government, stepped on the Constitution the way it's been stepped on today.
So you're saying it's just getting so intrusive that you may as well just list everything about yourself and get it all out there because they're going to try and dig it all out anyway.
You got that right.
Well, I appreciate you getting in. Thanks very much. It is getting very freaky. And you know what's weird? And this basically never gets mentioned anymore. I want you to do a little thought experiment with me. I want you to imagine that tomorrow the federal government said, all right, every adult American, starting tomorrow, you're going to be required to carry with you at all times a GPS tracker. Said, all right, every adult American, starting tomorrow, you're going to be required to carry with you at all times a GPS tracking device. Okay, you got to keep it on your person at all times. Be required to carry with you at all times a GPS tracking device. Okay, you got to keep it on your person at all times. Now, I'm talking, say, we don't want to do that because we're against the death penalty. So, here in America, we've had to find new ways to do it. Some states have talked about compounding the medicine on their own, others buying it from other states who create the medicines on their own, and they're going to a different three-drug cocktail than they've used before. So they started this three-drug cocktail, and at first they thought the guy was unconscious. Then he wakes up, kind of. And he's lifting his head. He's having trouble breathing. It's not going well. They close the blinds on the death chamber, and later he dies of a heart attack. And so now there are many running around trying to say, see, cruel and unusual punishment, and this is what we were talking about, and this is what's wrong with that three-drug cocktail, and we're going to try and stop all the death penalty cases now because of this. But then you get down to a great piece in the New Republic when they say what we're finding out from the director of the Department of Corrections is that this guy's vein didn't just blow, as they call it, a blown vein, exploded. People trying to say it's the drug. It's not the drug. The problem was the needle in his arm. Ben Cryer writing about this, and he says, you know, the thing is, this is how a blown vein happens. The IV catheter is either pushed through both sides of a vein or misses the vein completely and causes the drug to flow into the surrounding tissue, so the drugs don't reach their target. Now, normally what would happen is you have a doctor and his team establishing the IV access, supervising the drug administration, and if something like this happens, they fix it. But the problem is the American Medical Association prohibits its members from participating in executions. They say, look, this would violate their oath to first do no harm, which I can kind of understand with. So it gets harder to do. Now, the Oklahoma protocol does require a doctor to be on hand in a limited role to obtain the instruments, to check once to make sure the prisoner is unconscious during the execution, and to pronounce death. And apparently they weren't able to find a good physician for this job. So there's still some confusion on exactly what happened. The Times, the New York Times, is reporting a doctor administrated these drugs. Maybe. But it runs counter to the state's execution protocol that doesn't call for that. A reporter who attended and covered this for the AP said it was her understanding they followed protocol and the doctor was just the attending physician. So that would have meant that the drugs were initiated by an EMT or a person with similar qualification and experience in IV insertion. Now, it's harder than you think to get the vein just right. But so this may not be about the drug cocktail at all, but that won't stop the drug, that won't stop the defense of the death penalty people to say we've got to stop all executions. And once again, if we're going to have the death penalty, then we need to actually execute it. If not, then let's debate whether or not we should even have the death penalty, and we'll just go to life in prison without the possibility of parole for heinous murders. But to try to say that if there's ever a time when an execution doesn't go down correctly, that means that all executions are a violation of cruel and unusual punishment in the Constitution, then we're sure showing a lot more sympathy for the criminals than we are for the victims. Saying that, you know, you have a right against cruel and unusual punishment does not mean you have a right against any pain whatsoever in the prison system. If so, then anytime somebody's hurt in the prison system, we're violating their rights and we better get them out of there, which happens all the time. What do you think? 855-400-SAVAGE gets you on. 855-400-SAVAGE. Let me get Will in, line two. Will, you're on the Savage Nation. My name's Greg Knappen for the doctor. Go right ahead.
Thank you, Greg. Hey, I just wanted to say I don't see how this death penalty thing is botched if the guy's dead. I mean, his victim did not get the choice on how to die and whether it was going to be peaceful or nice and, you know, all flowers and a whole meal laid out for him and all that, I'm quite sure.
Technically it worked is what you're saying. You're saying technically it worked. He's dead, right?
Exactly. And he gave up his right of civilized life when he did that. That was his choice. So, oh well. You know, I'm sorry, but it is what it is. It's in the Bible, an eye for an eye, and it's done. It's over. Shouldn't be, you know what I mean, just be plagiarized like this and covered because it doesn't matter.
Well, thanks. I appreciate you getting in. Here's the thing. I think most Americans agree with you that we're not going to lose a lot of sleep over this guy tonight, that he had a little bit of a painful death because of what he did in his crime, right? However, we do have the Constitution that says no cruel and unusual punishment, so I do think we have to be, you know, at least circumspect in how we execute. But we used to say no problem with a firing squad, no problem with hanging. And so you know what? Every once in a while, there may be a little problem here. That doesn't mean the whole thing's wrong. 855-400-SAVAGE gets you in. My name's Greg Knapp, in for the doctor on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE.
My name is Greg Knapp, in for the doctor on the Savage Nation. You know, we were talking about this botched execution in Oklahoma. It looks like maybe they blew a vein more so than the drugs. And it didn't go the way they wanted it to, and he later died of a heart attack. And the liberals are going crazy over it. Oh, we got to stop all executions. Well, as Eric Erickson at Red State points out, you know one person who's not going to be able to weigh in on this execution? Miss Stephanie Niemann. At 19 years old, just graduated high school. They walked in on a house raid he was doing. She tried to fight him off. They beat her, he and his accomplices. Bound her with duct tape, taped her mouth shut. Shot her. Buried her half alive. But hey, he's the guy here that's the victim. Yeah, he's the victim. Right? Let me get Martha in. Line one, WJR. Martha, you're on the Savage Nation. My name's Greg Knapp. Go right ahead. In for the doctor.
Hey, Greg. Thanks for taking my call. I've got 2 points, really, that the constitutional one and the biblical one. Constitutionally, to me, cruelty would be what he did to her. Cruelty would be, for instance, you know, breaking all his legs or opening up a vein and just letting him bleed out. Or throwing a rock to his, you know, tying a rock to his ankle and throwing him off a bridge. That's cruel. I don't care if you put him in front of a firing squad or, you know, or chop off his head or hang him. Make sure he's dead. Make sure it's quick. That's not cruel. That's making sure the job gets done.
Well, and it is a good point that we said. Back in the founder's day, you know, firing squad, hanging, that wasn't considered cruel and unusual. And now we want to make it seem like it's so civilized to do it with this drug thing. And I think a lot of people agree with you, Martha. Thanks for the call. You know, this, by the way, this guy, Lockett, Clayton Lockett, to the girl that he killed, he raped her friend. He was convicted of murder, rape, kidnapping, assault and battery, burglary, and robbery. Shot Ms. Niemann twice, buried her alive, raped the friend, and somehow this was the worst thing that happened, was the way that he was put to death? What do you think? Hey, let me get Randy in, KCMO, on line three. Randy, you're on the Savage Nation. My name's Greg Knapp, in for the doctor. Go right ahead.
Thank you, sir. Just wanted to mention a while ago, about 20 minutes ago, you mentioned people in this country rising up in anger if they were tracked by the government, by GPS. And I've made this point several times with my friends that the government, the people in this country will never rise up in anger against this government. That's the problem we have. We won't rise up in anger because everybody keeps voting back in their same representative. They keep saying, oh, my guy's okay. It's all the other ones that are bad. And so we're stuck with the same status quo all the time. And
well, we had one time not too long ago when it started in 2010 where there was a rising up of the people in the new Tea Parties and in the town hall meetings. And in the fact that a new bunch of people were elected that had never been elected before. Is that still alive, or has that been now taken over by the same old Inside the Beltway crowd? Hey, thanks for being with me. My name's Greg Knapp, in for the doctor. This is the Savage Nation.